everybody. Welcome to another Comic Pop on the Road. We are visiting at Starbase Studios in Oklahoma City with Scott Johnson and Michael King. They are here with us today along with April, Louise, Logan, Michelle's here as well. We might all have a few questions that we'll be talking about, so we appreciate your gentlemen's time this evening.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. It took, what,
Special
20?
All the way from
yeah.
Kansas.
All right.
It took maybe 20 to 30 minutes to get the studio up. And what we are actually in, and then we'll get to describing some of the other stuff, is the old classic, what I would consider classic, Star Trek Enterprise Bridge. And most of the constitutional classes, would any bridge of that time frame be like this, or just constitutional class?
Well, I believe since we only saw the Constitution ships in the original series, and we've seen some other ships, but they were slightly modified. You know, like Commodore Wesley's chair was a little bit rounded and more up. So I think there were slight differences when they showed the ships, but basically the overall design is the same. I think it was like the same size, just a few minor changes, just to differentiate it from the Enterprise.
And one of the unique things about this, and Scott, you can mention this, and Michael, you can chime in, is the history of this soundstage. Would you mind going through that for the audience so they know where it came from, how it came about, the journey that it's been through, and one of the past journeys we'll get into here in a little bit as well, one of your journeys the past couple of weeks. So if you wouldn't mind starting with that, just the history of the sound studio.
Okay, well, first of all, my name is Scott Johnson. You know, I'm with Starbase Studios here in Oklahoma City. We are the only TOS, as I call the original series style Star Trek set in the continental United States, that is willing to let anybody come in and shoot a fan film or a snippet or a vignette, or, you know, if you want to shoot something on film and have it Star Trek original series background, everybody is more than welcome to come here. Now, as far as history on the bridge, this all began with Starship Exeter. If anybody has ever seen Exeter, you know, which was out how long ago, Michael? When did they start?
I think I've seen maybe one episode. But
well, they've got two.
Yeah, I don't remember when the last one was shot. I know they completed it in 2000,
like
a couple of years, a year ago?
11, 12, because it came out about a year ago. It was the Tresarian Intersection.
Well, I mean, it took 10 years to complete their second episode, and I believe it came out just a year ago.
Dedication.
Yeah, well, they had Acts 1, 2, and 3 done, and then we had all been sitting on a cliffhanger for approximately 10 years to what, 12 years?
Okay.
To see Acts 4 finally completed. But, well, when they wrapped shooting, this thing was stored outside in a pole barn. They had nowhere to store it. It sat outside for a couple of years. So it was pretty, you know, dilapidated by the time John Hughes, who is the executive producer behind Starship Ajax, was the one that inherited it from Jim and Josh Johnson, who were or are Starship Exeter.
So it was basically out in the middle of a field?
Out in a pole barn and somewhere in Austin, Texas.
Huh.
So, you know, John Hughes rounded up a few people and rented two U-Haul trucks, went down to Austin, and loaded up what bridge pieces, you know, that we acquired from them, which I know everybody can't see me, but it would be from the starboard side of the bridge, the half station, which is just to the right of the main viewing screen, around to where communications would end. So then that's what we inherited from Exeter, and then we ourselves have built from where the turbo lift starts across the port side to where the main viewing screen begins.
So are you guys about 50-50 then, I guess?
Maybe 60-40, because there's
a little,
you know, this
side,
the starboard side's got a couple of more bigger stations in it, and the port side only has two, so. But it's been 5 years that we put into this so far, from, you know, starting, rebuilding it. It was first housed out in El Reno, Oklahoma, at the El Reno Air Park, in an aircraft hangar. But rent out there was pretty pricey, like over $500 a month. So it sat out there for about 18 months, and then John ran out of money. And
that can happen fast.
Yeah. You know, amazing how that happens, isn't it?
But never happened to me.
Yeah, no, not at all.
$9,000 would not be
Can I get about $5 to get back home?
Yeah, exactly. Well, because we run totally on donations here, you know. So if anybody comes in and shoots, we don't charge anything, but we ask for like a nominal donation because I don't want to pay for somebody's electricity bill, you know, for them coming in to shoot here. But you know, we don't charge because you can't charge for using any of this stuff because CBS then has a problem with it because they own the rights to everything.
Okay.
So that makes sense. So, you know, obviously, you know, you did like 40% roughly of this. So did the expenses get in the way for how fast things got done?
Oh, yes. They started out with probably about $3,000, $4,000 worth of materials. And this is before I started working on the project. So it had been running about 2 years before I started, you know, with the guys. But, yeah, they burned through materials real quick because, as you guys can see, there are no straight angles in here. There's nothing that's a 90, you know. It's all like 47.2, and I'm like, oh, I'm a lighting guy? I know the business end of a hammer and how to use a tape measure.
So it's a learning process.
Yeah, it, you know, definitely.
It's not anything you could just come in and just know how to do.
No. And what I've really enjoyed is that it's not stationary. The monitors, the computer monitors that they would use, they're all flickering and working as if they were computerized, and it's not just a picture.
Right. Yeah, so there are...
it is a working set.
Yeah, throughout the 360-degree bridge, there are 56 actual working computer monitors which support all of the graphics that you would see in every station. And a gentleman by the name of Will Smith runs TOSgraphics.com. It's not the Will Smith.
Will Smith. You should have all the money you need.
Yeah.
He's a little stingy.
We wish that was the guy. And just gentleman happens to have the same name, but he runs TOSgraphics.com. And he was kind enough to supply us with all the graphics that you guys see that are running on the stations today.
And also, Scott didn't mention this, but this is one of two fully 360-degree bridges.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the other one's Phase 2, James Colley's series, and then us, and then we have Starship Farragut, but theirs is, like, cuts off here.
I think it's about a half a bridge.
Yeah, so...
Okay.
James Colley's with Star Trek Phase 2 New Voyages is still... They have capabilities of doing a 360, but right now it is in construction mode. For the July shoot.
But they had 360 before they moved.
It's just taken apart right now. And I also work with New Voyages or Phase 2. I work on their crew up in Ticonderoga, New York.
I haven't done the New Voyages. I've seen some of the Phase 2.
They've been at it for 10 years. They've done like 10 episodes.
Yeah, there's 10 episodes that they've got.
No, the episodes we're talking about, you can find them on YouTube.
Oh, yes.
When we were visiting.
I would say the most successful fan film series and the most... accurate as far as the sets go, definitely the most accurate by far. If you ever visit their sets, it's just like walking back in the 60s because James is real meticulous at making sure everything's exactly the way it looked back then.
Right, so is that process really long and grueling, having to, you know, comb through episodes and make sure
we do a lot of research when we were even like, you know, building the control panels and stuff for the stations. We go back and then it also depends on what season you're basing your show in. Are we season one? Are we season two? Are we season three? Because different things change throughout the course of the 79 episodes.
And that's another thing about Mr. Colley. You know, a lot of what we've done, he's helped us, you know, with supplying fabric for uniforms and even the buttons and switches. And
And then if I ever have questions, like with us building our sick bay, you know, or partial sick bay set that we have now, I had a lot of questions on measurements, so I've got a lot of friends that work, you know, also at Phase 2, and if they're up there working on the set on the weekend, I can call up my buddy Alex, you know, hey, you know, run over and go measure the, you know, the shelf that's on the side of the bio bed, you know, how long, what's the dimensions on it, so, you know.
Because I don't think any of this was done by, like, blueprints. I think it was more or less just screen captures, looking at pictures.
Looking at what it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Seeing how what color something is and what's there and all that, because I know when we worked on the sick bay, it went by a lot of different pictures. We're looking at pictures.
So how far are you guys trying to take it? Are you trying to build the whole ship eventually?
Yeah, we'd like to. I'd like to end up with, like, what James, you know, as we keep speaking about James Colley with Phase 2, he's got, like, the full Desilu studio. You know, there's... It's the full corridor. It's sick bay, not just the medical bed side, but also the examination side. They're in the process now of building full engineering. So,
and that's what you know. I've never met him, but I've talked to him on the phone and through internet, and he's having an open house basically in September, and I really want to see all those sets.
So, do you guys want to, just keep them sets, just all interior, or are you guys actually planning on making the actual
planet size
ship? Yeah, like, so where full experience, you get to walk into it and just.
Oh, hallways and everything. Jeez, oh, wow.
Yeah, like, do you want
we've got some shows that are in pre-production mode right now that we can't go forward with because we don't have a captain's quarters at the moment. And like what you're asking about, for, or at least partial corridor. So, yeah, we've still got some more things that we want to build here, and that some of the shows that are wanting to shoot here. And some of the shows that I've already shot here are like, oh, man, you know, wish you guys had a corridor set up. I'm like, yeah, it's coming, it's coming.
Did you tell them, come help, yeah, give us some funds?
Exactly. Do you know any builders?
Yeah, a bigger building, too.
Yeah.
You can go big enough.
Yep. That's another issue is, like, housing everything. It takes a lot of space. And
that's what I was going to say, the current building you're in.
It's
house all that? You'd probably have to get something a little bigger.
Well, we'd probably end up doing like wildable sets, or you know, like building like two walls of it, and then we can take the other walls down and construct something else. Or if we ever get our briefing room built, that can be redressed to be, you know, the rec room, the briefing room. We can make several things out of that. So that's our long term goal.
Not too long, because we need that rec deck.
It's a long term, short term goal, which all depends on donations and help.
So how many people or how many volunteers? I see you two. Are there more of the main core of people who
there's about helping? Maybe 5-6 of us that are main core that, you know, try to work down here as much as we can to get stuff going. But then everybody has a job. Everybody has a family. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the guys, the wife gets like, you're going down to Star Trek again? Yep.
So, it's either me or them. Yeah.
I haven't got to that
point. It doesn't get that bad.
Yeah, I haven't got to that point yet, but a few guys have. So
does this supplement what some people do is collecting the merchandise?
Or I do that too. I do that too.
You do that too? Or can this become a little, because in a way this is taking your time, not just your money, but time as well. So is this more enjoyable at times?
There's good days, but, you know, there's bad days, too. So,
it's like when we're making a film, it's a lot of hard work. It's not, you know, you see the finished result. You don't see what's going on when we're making this. It's hard work. It's a lot of work. And, you know, sometimes I'm frustrated and ready to just throw in the towel and all this. But when you see the finished result, it's like, wow, you know, it's just amazing.
And I think one story Scott mentioned when we were visiting on the phone that I thought was unique. This is a warehouse.
Oh, yes, so, it is.
There's no facilities. So, if you want to talk about.
We have facilities. You can pick anywhere you want.
I kind of like the comment about the short skirts and running across the street.
Well, we're working on an outhouse, but.
Yeah, there is no. Well, at one time. Way back in the day, this used to be an RC Cola bottling company. But this building runs for like two city blocks. So, it runs from 27th Street out here, which you guys saw, down to 25th. So, building's got a lot of space in it. It's just we're, you know, we rent this south end, which I guess what, we're in like 50 by 100, 50 by 75?
I'd say 100.
Okay.
The ultimate goal, of course, is, you know, to relocate and get a, you know, better building with facilities, running water, air conditioning, and all that kind of
stuff. Yeah, I would like to really have air conditioning in the summertime.
True. You need to talk to that Will Smith dude.
That's why the GPS was acting funny, or whatever it was.
The GPS kept trying to get us to you guys, but we were down over there, like, in a neighborhood suburb area. And we're like, it's not in our backyard.
I've been at the studio for a couple of years, and I still don't know the address. So.
Well, you know how to get here.
Yeah.
That's
apparently encompasses a block.
I just give everybody Sonic's address.
With the different things that happen here at the studio, how far away do people come to film? Or if you do, I think I noticed you had an open house recently.
Yes, back in March. And Probably from the, like the 4 or 5 state area, you know, that surrounds Oklahoma. We had people from Texas, Arkansas, Kansas.
Missouri.
Some couple guys here from Chicago.
Ooh, that's pretty far.
So,
yeah, I mean, somebody drove in like 6 hours to get here.
That's
and,
us. That was us, yeah. And, 6 to 7 hours here.
I remember one guy saying that it was like 8 hours he drove. And, you know, as far as shooting here, we had somebody from Canada come up and shoot.
Yeah. Star Trek or Star Trek Yorktown.
Yeah, Yorktown.
Okay.
Which is a
Yorktown. Yeah, it was,
I'm just dipping my toe right now into the fan-made films. I haven't gotten too far into it, so I recognize some of the names. And
well, Star Trek
bits and pieces of episodes.
But Yorktown was started back in 1985. Okay. It features George Takei, who played the original Sulu.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, a lot of the stuff, well, the stuff that was filmed back in 85 with George, when he looked young George, you know, still looked like, you know, like he was still on the Enterprise.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
It was all like down on a planet or, like, you know, like away stuff. So they were never, they never had a bridge to be able to shoot the bridge scenes that they needed.
Okay.
So all the stuff that features George, you know, was shot back in 85, which is, you know, this is 2015. So, hey, do the math. But, they came down here, and they were from Canada. What was it? December of 2000.
It was cold.
December of 2013, and filmed all the bridge scenes they needed with their crew.
So did they just splice together?
Well, it's in post-production now.
85.
See, because originally they filmed it on, I believe, 8mm film, the original stuff with George Takei. So they're trying to have it treated to match.
Well, they did their Kickstarter, and they did.
Yeah.
They ran a successful campaign.
They did raise the money to do that.
It's now being transferred and, you know, doctored, whatever they need to do to their film or the tape to get it to match up with the stuff that they shot back in 85 with George.
Okay.
But hopefully that might be out by, I hope, again, Christmas this year. But I'm thinking it's probably going to be sometime next year, like maybe in time for the 50th anniversary.
Would
probably be a better guess.
Okay. I know we've talked about it before, but I don't know if we have talked about it during this interview. How many groups have you had come in to film?
God, I would have to say between 10 to 15.
10 to 15?
Yeah. With several more scheduled to film here.
Mm-hmm. We have a group from Newfoundland that wants to come in, I believe, in October of this year. We're talking right now with the gentleman that lives in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
That is wanting to come here March of 2016 for the month. And, you know, so, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's out there that's in pre-production.
So
and
do you guys do, you get booked up in advance pretty?
Yes.
It's a year-round thing. It's no breaks almost.
I mean, I would recommend not to shoot in, like, probably July and August because, you know, here in Oklahoma, it does get up into the hundreds sometimes, so.
We shot our first scenes. We didn't end up using it, but when we first shot with April, it was so cold, and here we had to put space heaters down between our legs so the breath wouldn't show.
Yeah, you had to mask it because you could actually see people exhaling on camera. So that, you know,
which would have been good if it was story related. We could have said the environmental system's down or something.
Special effects, sorry.
Yeah.
It would work in the summer.
Yeah.
So
yeah, bridge burning.
Which reminds me, the video you showed, you had fire on the bridge.
That was all done in post-production by our director, Brady Foster. So none of it was real.
It looks really good, though.
Yeah, he's actually a professional guy. Makes commercials and movies here in Oklahoma and across the country. So he knows what he's doing.
Well, yeah, Brady Foster. He's with Red Chair Productions.
Yep.
He is the DP.
And the owner.
Well, he's the DP of Starship Valiant.
Yeah, he pretty much does everything. Everything.
Well, I know we are here roughly, what was the first part of June. You guys have been having a lot of rain. We want to go into some of the experiences you've had with the weather. I know the flooding you mentioned, into some of that and what all it told. Is there any other
rain's
weather
a dirty
related?
Word.
Yeah, we don't like rain.
We don't speak of rain.
It's
we
another
are not
one.
Farmers.
That's our Voldemort.
Yeah.
Don't say that name.
It's like one of those four-letter words that goes right along with work. And, you know, there's a few other choice ones also. But, yeah, in reference to our water sports weekend that we had here in Oklahoma City, the good Lord, and we love him all to death and everything, but he decided to dump 9 inches of rain on us in an hour. And 60 minutes.
A Noah flashback.
Yeah.
Really was.
Yeah, it was like,
oh, wait, I promised I wouldn't do that again.
I was thinking.
Well, it's just like the drainage here couldn't handle that much rain in that short a time. So Richard came down here and opened up the door. Well, he had to wade, you know, in through where you guys drove in. Yeah. It was up to his knees.
I remember that night I was on the phone with you. I could hear Richard. I can hear the water swishing. Then Richard put the pictures up, and it was like heartbreak.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It was
heartbreak.
It got deep.
So did that actually get into?
Yes.
It got into the actual.
We're sitting on the bridge. Captain's Island, or what is known as the island right now. The water was up over, like, you know, it was on top of so the carpet here was underwater.
It's like 2 feet high?
That's in the navigation.
No, probably a good
weapons area.
10 to 12 inches.
10 to 12 inches.
Because as we say, the bridge or the pizza, you know, it's 18 inches off the ground. So, and it didn't hit the top is 18 inches off the ground. That's probably for it. So I would guesstimate like 10, 12 inches is how deep it was throughout the whole building.
And then the moisture alone, you know, for the computers, I think it probably ruined those computers.
Yeah, we lost 4 or 5 towers because it got so humid in here and everything. It was just nasty.
Okay, so I'm looking at the monitors, and it's basically flashing lights. Do you have to have up-to-date modern computers, or do you have, like, old computers that are just running lights?
Older computers that are running a basic program that my partner who runs the studio with me, Richard Wells, is our IT guy.
These are XP. They're running XPs. Okay. So.
It's running. It's an older tower that, you know, it doesn't have to have a whole lot of smarts to it, but it's got to be able to run XP. And then Richard's written the program that we got from Will Smith, you know, who designed them all. And he's got it timed out to where they all go in and flash as according to what it did on the original show. And they put so much research into. No, it didn't blink at the right time. Go back and watch, The Enemy Within. See, it changes from screen 1 to screen 2.
Then you say, but that was season 2. Season 3, they did it different. There's always an escape code.
A little bit of OCD.
A little bit.
But so it sounds like a fan to me.
I would say Scott's probably more hardcore than me about details. But, you know, he's worked with James Colley, and James Colley is all about details.
So
I'm like, I don't care. They ain't going to notice that. And Scott's like, no, it needs to be there. It's going to be on the show.
Because he knows that as soon as it does, everybody's going to
like that little button on the sick bay bed. Yep. On the end, a little button this big. I'm like, I don't have to be there. It don't matter. Nobody's going to notice.
You
want the button there.
Well, yeah. Gotta have
the
button.
They will.
Gotta have the
button. So does that mean when different groups come in and think, do you have to sometimes change up how the bridge is set up with the lights and everything to make it fit?
Right now, change lighting for every show that comes in here.
But as far as a physical set, I don't think, other than the pictures, they might want different pictures in the displays or something, but I don't think you physically have to change it.
No, not yet. We haven't.
Do you have to take out the buttons and everything?
No.
Yeah, this thing needs to be red instead of blue.
No, we won't go that far.
No. I'll be like, you need to fix that in post, okay?
color that in post. Or here, if you want a red one on, here's the hot glue, here's the button. You go ahead. But when you're done, switch
it back.
Do any of the switches or buttons that actually press do anything to the lights?
No, not right now. Eventually, they are capable to move. They are the exact same buttons that they had on the original bridge.
Did the buttons ever do anything on the original show? I don't think they did they? No. I know these didn't do anything. They were just there for
I think pretty much most of them were static, but you might have a rocker switch that would turn on a light or something here or there.
But I think when it came to a display and they'd push a button, they added it in post.
Make a sound effect, so it sounds like.
But then, of course, in the original series, they didn't have LCD monitors either. They were all Christmas lights in the background.
Each one was, each little light on, each family.
Can you imagine all the work they put into that?
And there was one bulb in each one.
Something's out. I'm trying to track it down.
Yeah, there's a lot of shows. Because I get real persnickety now when I go back and watch Star Trek. I'm not really watching the story anymore. I'm looking for stuff in the show. And be like, there's a blue bulb out in that screen. And, look over here. You can see it dropped down a little bit. And you can see a gap there.
And that is why you want everything to be as exact as possible. Because he will come along.
Well, and I always, my show, Starship Valiant, isn't the Enterprise. So I'm like, we can get away with that because
he's on
a few differences.
Oh, yeah, so we like that.
He hasn't told them about his show, has he?
Not yet.
Not on the podcast. So what show are you in?
Starship Valiant. We conceived it back in 2013 September. It's actually when we started making it, and we released it in June 26th, 2015. 2014. No, conceived at 13, showed it 2014.
Yeah. Yes.
And then we're showing it again this year at SoonerCon, and we filmed like 5 minutes of extra footage.
SoonerCon called Michael, or through the wonderful internet,
right.
And because people don't make phone calls anymore, hardly. Yeah. Unless you're on a cell phone.
Unless you're on a Facebook call.
Yeah, Facebook call. But anyway, they contacted Michael and were curious to see, since he had shown, his initial vignette last year for Valiant, which was entitled Legacy, mm-hmm. if he would like to come back and show episode 2. And he said, well, I sure would love to.
We've got to film it now.
But yeah, but we haven't actually shot episode 2 yet. So, in discussing with Michael... you kind of came up with the idea, and we tossed it around between us for a while, but decided to do an additional scene.
It wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, so we wouldn't show the exact same
thing. And plus,
thing
it was a
before.
Scene that was something I wanted to do, but we didn't have a sick bay at the time we filmed that. So,
and
Richard.
Now you have a sick bay.
Richard had made, and actually, he had made just one bed and a wall and a side.
Okay.
Yeah, sick bay.
Cheat a little.
And
walls with one bed.
And we. Right after the flood damage, we were supposed to film this, and after the damage, we were like, oh, man, we're going to be able to film this.
Well, Michael and I were talking on the phone probably one night, because we still make phone calls to each other, but because that's a daily thing. But this is, probably 1:30 in the morning, and I said, man, Michael, we're going to shoot this part for you for, the Legacy Editions is what we're calling it.
Okay.
Man, it sure would look cool, if we had a second bed, and then we could extend the third wall and kind of,
We wanted a bed, because originally the captain was supposed to be in the bed.
Okay.
And I thought, we've got one bed. What if we had another bed? There's supposed to be a dire situation, so we can put somebody else in the second bed, so it looked like people were really hurt. Instead of just one bed, and Scott was, he liked the idea, and we worked hard to get that done because we only had a week.
Yeah, we had like 1 week
before we were filming after the flood damage. I mean, right after it. So we're cleaning up the water and the mud and trying to build. And
then we decided, we've got a clean house again because a clean bridge is a happy bridge.
true.
But, we jumped into construction mode, and there's probably about 8 of us down here that we knocked it out and slapped it up.
I think
we
surprised ourselves
again.
I was going to say I can do the idea, but putting it together. It costs more fixing my mistakes.
All you need is one person that knows, and the other people can help. So,
and so that's like a whole... Do you have a lot of people coming in for that, for the cast and everything, for different parts?
Or? We had, Charles, myself, 2 nurses, doctor, Kaylin, Robert. I think we had about 8 people for that one scene. So, and it was like, I would say maybe in the film it'll be about 4 minutes, 5 minutes. But it took about
6 hours.
Yeah, 6 hours of shooting.
So is it hard trying to get everybody who's needed?
Not this time. It was pretty easy, actually.
Really? You didn't have time.
And I mean, you got to consider that, nobody received any money. Nobody was paid. We had a makeup artist who's worked on film that actually came in and helped us out. We had Brady, professional filmmaker. All the girls were actually into filmmaking, and they'd been in bit parts. I don't know if... David Cox, he's been in plays though, right?
Yeah,
he's actually done stage plays. So everybody, everybody's excited. They get excited being around this stuff because it's just not, you just don't film on a Star Trek set every day.
That's true.
And I mean, I had Charles Walker, who played our captain, and he's done a lot of film, actually starred in film. And he came over to me and he was like, man, I just want to thank you for letting me be in this. And I'm like, man, I'm glad you're here. I'm sorry we had to kill you, man. He's the one that she says the captain's dead. So he got his 2 minutes of fame in the film. But
he still had a good time.
Yeah.
It's, it's almost like everybody that comes in, whether they're involved with a shoot or a production, or if they're just coming in to, take the tour, like on one of our open houses, the look that you get when we open up the turbo lift doors... And you get that first look on their face, it's priceless.
It is.
I mean, you hear people say, oh, man, this is a dream come true. It's like going to Disneyland to some of these people.
Yeah.
I mean, they just... Wow. I remember the first time I walked on the bridge. This you're not seeing it at its best. I mean, when we filmed Legacy, it was perfect. Everything was perfect, beautiful. And I remember when I first walked in here, it was like I got this weird feeling in my stomach that it just seems like you're stepping back in the 60s.
Yeah. Yep.
So when you're filming, you have all these boom mics and big cameras, and bright lights shining down.
Yeah, just like a movie set.
Yeah, today we have the white, as we call the overhead or space light on, just so we can see in here. But yeah, when we're shooting, everything is on a dimmer, so you can either you can change the level of the light that you're using. Well, and I've got
just like the sick bay when we lit it up. Oh wow. It was just, none of the flood mattered, none of the hard work. It was just like, wow, it is so beautiful.
Check us out on Facebook if anybody's on Facebook.
Yeah, there's pictures of everything on there. .com.
You said tours. I know, can the general public come? I know you've done educational tours for schools and stuff and do that.
And yeah, when we do it,
can the public come, and how do they contact you?
When we do an open house, it's open to the general public. Anybody that wants to come can come. And we do that, we've been doing it about twice a year so far.
Yeah.
Now we have another.
The last one was really big, too.
Well, we have another, what do you want to call it? Like an event or a gig, as I would say. I come from the concert business, so I say gig. But anyway, we have another event that's going to take place here October 17th, which is going to be called Promenadicon. Now, we have one guy that works with us, with Starship Valley.
He actually plays our engineer, Major.
Yeah, his name is Vance Major. He runs a Facebook page or a group that's called The Promenade.
And basically, they discuss sci-fi and
sci-fi.
Films like that.
Talk Firefly, Doctor Who, Star Trek.
Ooh, he's got almost 5,000 members, and he wanted to put something together because a lot of members don't know each other, so they can meet. Okay. And this is the place he wanted to do the meeting.
Are you sure you have enough space?
Well, I think so.
Amazing.
Well, hopefully they all don't show up at once. Well, we'll run 10 in the door and 10 out the door, Keep the line moving.
If nothing else, you're going to use the alley.
There you go.
Barbecue.
Well, we'll let them all come in free and we'll charge them $1 to get out.
There you go.
$2 to use the bathroom.
There you go. $1 ahead, you get 5,000. There's just some money for a little bit.
Hey, I see a full corridor. There's a briefing room.
Well, on the website, starbasestudios.com, is that the website correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Or starbasestudios.net.
.net. Okay.
Excuse me.
There is a link that you can do email, and that's how I contacted.
Yes.
Richard was the first that responded, and Scott, you contacted as well. That's the primary way to get in touch with you. You've made allowances for us to come in because, we want to promote pop culture. We enjoy the science fiction, fantasy, comic books, all that stuff. And that's what we discussed. So you were gracious enough to allow us to come in. Can somebody just out of the blue contact you? Like it's, again, like I said, a family coming through or a group of people that says, we've heard about you. Can we stop by if you're available? Or is it primarily, like you said, just the open houses are the only time?
Usually we'll do the open house thing. But, with like you guys here today, we talked a couple of weeks in advance.
Right.
So, I won't say no because it's possible.
But it's a little bit more difficult when someone just out of the blue calls and says, hey, I'm passing through. Can you meet me? I want to see the studio. It's easy. It's harder doing it that way because you never know what we'll be doing.
Well, I was just thinking of that Star Trek fan, like you said, the experience to see this because, I'm a fairly calm person, so I don't show too much emotions, but when the doors were open, it was like,
oh,
this is cool. This is neat because, you kept us. You don't come in and see everything.
Yeah, that's what, I kept you all outside close the doors and, let me get everything turned on first.
You get some speakers in here, sound effect everything.
Well, there's a couple strategically located to where when we have a red alert scene, you can
press the button, just
time to go. And then here, I think you
got him started.
Uh-oh.
He's going to show off.
I don't think the sound's on, but I bet you the lights are probably working.
Oh, they did shut up.
Yeah, right there.
The red alert.
And we have the red alert sound, too, but I guess the moisture is probably...
Speakers
off.
Anyway, so here we have
now, what about red alert with the yellow?
You don't worry about it until it's red.
They actually had a yellow though.
But the post guy can take care of that.
Today you don't even need to turn them on.
True, that is true.
Okay.
Well, we've kept you guys for about an hour, so I don't want to keep you anymore.
You have everything you need.
Anything else?
probably.
Awesome. I'm not on a time.
Yeah, you guys are awesome for doing this for us. We appreciate everything.
You guys.
So.
I don't have to go anywhere, Richard. So.
Turn that off and go somewhere cool and get a drink.
Well, don't cut yourself.
We can do that. We can go and visit somewhere and get a drink if you guys want. But one of the things we want to mention again, we got Scott Johnson, Studio Operations. Go to starbasestudios.net.
Yep.
We can contact you that way.
Or you can check us out on Facebook, you know, Starbase Studios.
Okay.
That's updated a lot more than
the website.
I mean, you know, it's 2015. I never got on Facebook until, I guess, last year? And now that, you know, we're doing the studio thing.
Now he can't stay off.
Yeah, Facebook is like the way
it's
we
an
all
addiction.
Live now.
That's
so.
True.
I've been on Facebook all of 3 times.
Yeah.
With 5 years apart, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
I envy people.
And
I envy
Facebook. I can't quite remember, but I accurately predicted how many years I would be before I got on Facebook again.
He uses the computer to death, but he doesn't use Facebook.
I wish I didn't have to use it as much as we all rely on it. But it is so easy to talk to everybody.
Yeah, anywhere.
You can just, you know, start a group of 50 people, and that way I don't have to send 50 messages. So, it's you know.
And we also had here with us Michael King. His character on Starship Valiant is Captain Jackson Bishop. And do you want to give the website?
Well, we don't.
YouTube,
yeah, we
Starship
do have an
Valiant
official website. I would say check out the Facebook page because it's almost updated daily as to what's going on. The website hadn't been updated in a while.
So Starship Valiant on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
You
can have people subscribe to your channel on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. We're also on, well, we're on the internet, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube,
Vimeo.
Yeah, Vimeo.
YouTube with Starship Bay, right?
Bay.
Yeah.
Bay. Starship Bay.
For some reason, I remember you guys saying it was Bay.
Oh, we might.
Bay or aspirin.
Yeah. No. So we were talking about a Michael Bay movie, but we were talking about J.J. Abrams.
Guys in this, don't we?
But we're going to wrap it up. Like, these gentlemen go home. We appreciate your time again. This
no
has
problem.
Been very nice.
Thank you. Thank you for coming in.
Everybody that's listening, Luis is taking pictures for us. They're going to show up on our Facebook page. So be sure to check that out. And I'll put a link. Well, not a link, but I'll make sure everybody has notification on our website when they go live. We'll do the podcast here. We're on a road to Akon in Dallas. These gentlemen were kind enough of Starship Studios and Starship Valiant. Come down and visit with us here in Oklahoma City. We've had a fun time. Hope you guys had a good time as well.
Enjoyed it.
Yep.
And we will see everybody the next time.
Bye.
Everybody have a good one.
Bye.
Thank you.
Live long and prosper.